Welcome back to Uncovered, the podcast. I'm Jess, and this week it's part two of the crazy story Ross Nielsen has to tell about his time attending some MLM conferences. If you listened last week, we ended with Ross being invited to another event in hopes of keeping him active in ACN. We've got Donald Trump, matching ties and unison chanting. What more could you need? Make sure to give this podcast a subscribe and a review on your podcast platform. It really helps me out. We've also got a Facebook group, which is UK Anti-MLM, all one word. And I'm on Instagram with the same handle. I love talking to people on there. And can I just say, I've had some really nice messages from people who've listened, and it really makes me happy. Thank you so much. Anyway, let's get on with it.
Because she was nice to me, I was definitely willing to consider it. Mm-hmm. It was still awkward.
Yeah, that's even more awkward of being in a car for 8 hours with people you don't know. Yeah. Now you've got to sleep with people you don't know.
Yeah, but she was nice, and she did stick by me through this, so I kind of gave her the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. She's like, yay, we're so happy to see you in Baltimore. You're going to have a much better experience here than you did at that conference and in that car. I said, okay. Well, time goes by, and no matter how hard I try, I just can't succeed in peddling the snake oil. Okay. I can't sign anyone up. Okay. Because not only do I have a bunch of rotten apples, I get quite a few green apples as well. And mm-hmm. green apples, you know, they just stonewall you. And they say, well, you know, let me think about it. Give me a couple of days. Okay. So, and then when you try to follow up with them, you're just like, yeah, no, I'm not sure this is for me. I do appreciate you for thinking about me though. I was like, well, okay. So I was like, I tried. I really did. Well, a low-level regional vice president calls me, and she sounds like the former governor of Texas. Her name is Ann Richards. Now, Ann Richards at that time, she was an older woman, Southern drawl, you know, just had to have that Southern hospitality, you know, growing up with the chickens on the farm. So she kind of has this voice, and she's like, hey, Russ, this is Bobby Joe Jackson. I'm an RVP, and I understand you're having a bit of a problem. And I said, yeah, I actually did have a problem. And then I tell her the story, mm-hmm. and about my struggles. I told her about the horror experience and everything. And she says, well, it sounds like you're making excuses to me. Here's the thing. You better get with the program or you're not going to make a dime. Click.
Put the phone down.
At that point, my anger has just reached boiling point. I call her back. She doesn't answer. And I scream a bunch of obscenities. But the basic point of the message was, who do you think you are? To talk to somebody you don't know and say a bunch of crap to somebody that you never met. Okay, you just really pissed me off. And let me tell you something. You may think you're a big hotshot, but you can't take any of that with you when you go.
Wow.
I said, and then I said, do not ever call this number again. And that was it. And so I call my upline back up and I say, hey, look, I just had this unpleasant phone call. Here's the thing. I'm going to do this Baltimore trip. Okay. But when I get back, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Now, at that point, my upline's kind of gotten tired of me because he had to, you know, he was kind of with me when I was struggling. And at that point, his emotional reserves have just kind of depleted. So at that point, he says, look, what's the point in you going to Baltimore? Okay. you're starting to become dead weight to me. So I don't know why you're going if you're just going to quit when you get back. And I said, well, because I've already I already registered. I paid the $150 registration fee. And then I paid the $220 nonstop flight from Denver to Baltimore, Maryland. I'm going to do this.
Wow.
Okay. So, because I've already made that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
He says, all right, well, go to Baltimore. And as I'll tell you what, you go to Baltimore. And what I'm going to do while you're in Baltimore is I'm going to get some people signed up and I'm going to put them underneath you. So that way you'll have a customer and representative base when you get back. Okay. And I said, sure. All right. Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, I fly to Baltimore. My upline's upline, his mm-hmm. ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Her brother picks me up at the airport, takes me to the hotel. So I meet the ex-girlfriend and the mom, and you know, we're getting ready. You know, we're getting ready. We're so happy. And so we stay the night at the Hunt Valley Inn in Hunt Valley, Maryland. And then the next morning we get up, have breakfast, and then we get on the what's called the light rail train. We take that from Hunt Valley to downtown Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're on the train, you know, we have to have these, you know, these train tickets. So that way when a fare inspector walks by, he sees that we have them. Well, there's this fare inspector, and he looks like a Mean Joe Green, who is a football player in the National Football League, which is, you know,
NFL. It's like,
yeah, the NFL. Okay.
Your football is different to our football.
Yeah. I was trying to explain to the UK audience who haven't been to the States.
Yeah. It's like our rugby.
It's like your rugby, yes. Only there's a lot more padding involved.
Yes. Yeah. And jumping on each other.
Yeah. So here he is. He's this, you know, he's this tall, bald guy in his mid-30s, black man, native Baltimore. And he shouts out, "Fair inspection!" And so, because I work on a military base, I'm used to being shouted out like so it's nothing to me, but my fellow companions were a little alarmed at that point. So I pull out my ticket, they pull out theirs, and this guy was looking for someone to bust, okay? Because these guys, These fare inspectors, they have quotas that they kind of make for themselves, and how many people they bust on trains, and then they compare statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So we dutifully pull out our tickets, and because we did that, he couldn't bust us, and that kind of really got on his nerves. So he just kind of snorts at us and walks on by. And so we're like, oh, well, yeah, we're on the East Coast. That's kind of how the people are here. it's almost like New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot more. I think, would you say the difference would be, like, they're a lot more, I guess, busy and more, you know, they're not as relaxed. I think they're a bit more uptight about things.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We got off the train and we head to the convention center. And at that point, everybody's, you know, it's like everybody's there excited. You know, we go in and the entire auditorium is one gigantic party. You have these flashing lights. You have this upbeat techno dance club and club music.
Oh, wow.
Played.
Different to and, your first and, experience then.
Yeah. I mean, everybody is just so excited to be there. They're cheering. They have these Mylar balloons that are handheld. And what you do is you hold these two Mylar balloons in each hand, you raise them above your head, and you clap. Okay. It just makes these big noises. And then you have this, you know, confetti falling from the ceiling. You got these streamers coming down and everybody is just so excited.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen footage of these on YouTube, like the Beachbody ones and the LuLaRoe ones that we don't have over here, but I've seen the footage of them. They are like the biggest cult gathering meetings, ceremonies you've ever seen in your life.
Yes. That's how it is. That's how it is here. So everybody is just so excited. And they're just screaming off the top of their lungs. And then you have the Greg Provenzano, the president and co-founder of ACN. You know, just given the introduction, he's kind of like an MC and everybody is just thrilled. And then, so you have a few motivational speeches. You have these power couples that go up. Now the power couples that are going up, that went up here, I'll mention these names as well. You had Becky and John Bursell, who were in ACN at that time. They are now double black diamonds in Kiani. Okay.
What's Kiani?
Kiani is like some healthcare product. I think it's like some like health vitamins or skincare. I'm not sure.
I haven't heard of that one.
So they're now in Kiani, but back then they were in ACN as regional vice presidents. You also had a couple named Jeremy and Mindy Diebel. They were huge in ACN. They wanted to kind of branch off and get into another MLM to kind of double the income that they currently had, which they had more money than God at that point. Okay. Wow. But years down the road, they ended up getting fired because, yeah, you can get fired from an MLM if you join another one. Okay. That's not permitted.
Yeah, some of them do have that in their contracts, don't they, that you sign. You know, the thing they make you sign online that you don't read, that apparently the fine print in there is you can't join another one.
Yeah. And then you had a guy named Steve Niamontalolo. He was also an ACN. He's also now a double black diamond in Kiani.
Okay.
So you have these high-ranking regional vice presidents that just gave speeches, and every one of them tells you a sob story
about how they were
down and out, unemployed, laid off, couldn't make ends meet, risking homelessness, and then introduced to the ACN opportunity, and now they're living the life they dreamed of. And at one point, Jeremy Diebel was saying in his speech that he says, you know, whenever I got a call from a kid's school saying that they were sick, I'd have to take the rest of the day off to go pick my kid up from school and take him home. Nowadays, when my kid calls in, when my kid is sick, guess what I say? And then he goes into this like very deep, heroic, masculine voice. He says, "I'll be right there."
And I bet everyone in the arena is like,
Oh, yep. That's exactly what they did. Okay.
Oh, God.
So you have all these motivational speeches, the sob stories, how they turn their lives around and how they're making more money than they've ever dreamed of, all of that. And then we go and then we break for lunch. Now, lunch, you had two different choices. You had some food trucks being served that were outside the convention center, mm-hmm, that were going to charge you an arm and a leg because the food.
Is this after you've paid $150 to go to the thing in the first place?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. They don't account for the food that you have to eat.
Wow. Okay.
They don't account for the food at all. We didn't want to spend that kind of money.
No.
So you know where we went? We went to McDonald's.
Yes.
Okay. that's where us broke folks go to get yeah. the, the, $2 cheeseburgers.
Hey, I think even if I was rolling in it, I'd still be going to McDonald's.
Yeah, right? So we go to McDonald's thinking that there wasn't going to be a long line. Well, guess what? There was a long line.
Everybody had the same idea then, I guess.
Yep. Yep. So we're standing in the McDonald's in our business attire. We have the name tag. We have our little name tags on. And there is a McDonald's employee that he just loses it. Okay. He says, "You guys are part of a pyramid scheme. You're all a bunch of brainwashed sheep. You think you're going to make money? You're not going to make crap. Okay. You're going to be broke the rest of your lives if you don't get out of that pyramid scheme."
Wow.
Now, most of us are just kind of standing there thinking, man, this guy's nuts. But
he must be a rotten apple.
Yeah. He'd be a rotten apple. There is a lady in the line. Okay. She's also at the part of the convention. Mm-hmm. She's a short little New York Latina.
Okay.
She's probably about like 5'3", you know, long curly brown hair. And she just goes off on this guy.
She says,
"We don't need people like you in ACN. We're going to be financially independent. And you going to be working at McDonald's the rest of your life." And a lady says, "Mm-hmm." And they head cocks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Say it, girl.
You're killing me.
We're all just mortified, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, looking back, that McDonald's employee had more common sense than the rest of us brainwashed sheep standing in the line.
Yeah.
And not only that, he made more money than us because, like you know, McDonald's is like, you know, minimum wage job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at the income disclosure statements on how much ACN employees make,
yeah,
it's a lot less than minimum wage. It's pennies on the dollar.
Wow. Yeah. He knew. He hopefully many people in the line listened to him.
At that time, we were told, you know, don't pay attention to negative people. Get those negative people out of your life. You know, think positive thoughts.
Just push
on promoting the ACN opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So we're standing in line, and then of course at that point, we're walking back to the convention center. Now, keep in mind, traffic rules on the East Coast, especially if you're like in New York or Baltimore or even Boston. Okay, the traffic rules are a lot. You know, they're the same as everywhere else. Okay, but the culture, you know, it's a lot different. So, we're getting ready to cross the street, but I see a car coming, and he's just like getting ready to turn. This car is like speeding. He's like got somewhere to go. My upline's ex-girlfriend is kind of like crosses to the middle of the street, and the car just slams the brakes, and it just lightly touches her shin, and I just go off on her. I said, "What the hell do you think you're doing?" And she's like, "I have the right of way." I said, "That doesn't matter here. They will run you right over."
Wow, they don't have the patience at all, do they?
No. I said you need to remember where you're at here. Okay, this is the East Coast. Things are a lot different here than where we live in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so don't ever do that again. Don't have to do that again. I said, you know what? I said, this whole looking both ways before you cross the street, yes, that happens. But you also need to be aware of oncoming cars that are not gonna that are not gonna care if you're crossing the street. If they have somewhere to go and they are in a hurry, they will run you over.
Wow. Wow. You also have something over there as well, don't you? That jaywalking. That's not a thing over here, but I know from when I've been over there visiting that jaywalking's a thing.
Yeah.
Is that what she was doing?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. Wow.
So, you know, we get back to the convention center. We hear the second half of the speeches, and then we decided to go out, just do a little sightseeing after it was over. This is like the early evening. Mm-hmm. And we go to this fudge shop.
Ooh.
On the pier, where there's a marina there where there's like a lot of these boats, and there's a fudge shop that's right there. And this particular fudge shop was so unique. So we go into the fudge shop, and you have these these black teenagers. They are making fudge, and they're singing 60s Motown songs but they changed the lyrics to make it all about the fudge.
That sounds like my kind of place.
Oh, it is so amazing. So we go in there, and they're singing My Girl, only they're changing the lyrics, and they're singing My Fudge. And we are so impressed, mm-hmm. that we buy a lot more fudge than we needed.
As you would.
And we even put some extra money in the tip jar, because these kids, they gave great service. And the fact that they were singing, enjoying the work while they were making fudge, I mean, it was excellent customer service.
Wow.
Now, I'm sure they were thinking, yeah, we're going to make a lot of money off these white folks here. Which they did.
Was the fudge worth it?
Oh my God, it was so good. But like I said, we bought a lot more than we actually needed, because these kids were doing such a good job.
Uh-huh.
But that, like I said, it's all about this. It's all about the pitch.
Yeah.
Okay. Here comes the second day. Now the second day is even more interesting than the first. Okay. The second day, we're told that we have to wear these white button down collar shirts and black slacks. And we go to the convention center wearing what we're told to wear. And Spencer Hung's wife, Liana, she is handing out bright red ties that we were all supposed to wear.
Oh, God. This doesn't sound like a cult at all.
Oh, it is a cult.
This doesn't sound Hooded Cloak-like at all, does it? Wow.
No.
Jeez.
So we're all supposed to be wearing these bright red ties. And so we go in the convention center, and we find out that there are many sub-cults within the giant cult.
Okay.
Now, Spencer Hunt's team was called the System, because we are part of the ACN system.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
And you have two other regional vice presidents that are huge Star Wars fans. And these guys wear Jedi and Sith costumes. And they are carrying lightsabers that, you know, flash multicolors.
Oh, brilliant.
Now, the Sith group was called Team Empire. And the Jedi group was called Team Rebel Alliance.
Oh, God.
Now, I'm looking around, I'm seeing this, and I'm confused. I'm saying,
as you should.
Because of that, I was so confused, because I see these people in Jedi and Sith costumes, and the first question I'm asking is, am I at Comic-Con?
I guess it also shows the ranking, doesn't it? Like, you've all got to wear your red ties, and they're there in the Jedi costumes.
Yes.
Wow.
And then there's this other group. I don't remember what their team name was, but their RVP was named Danny Bay. He was a native Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids, they wore black button-down collar shirts, black slacks, and bright yellow ties.
Oh.
And they were cheering his name, but I was a little intimidated because the cheers they were doing and the hand signals they were making was kind of resembled Hitler Youth.
Oh jeez. Oh no. You know, like, was it something, you know, like the New Zealand All Blacks? They do those chants, don't they? Have you seen them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to stay away from those guys.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be intimidating.
Yeah. I mean, because they were all in. I'm like, holy crap. And again, you have the techno music, the bright flashing lights, the confetti, the streamers falling down, everybody being pumped up, excited. I mean, and then you know, more some powerful speeches. And one of the powerful speeches was given. One said, "You can jump into a swimming pool." They said, "You can jump. You can read books about learning how to swim, but you will never learn how to swim until you jump in the water. So we are going to jump into the water right here with ACN. Let's get started."
Oh, it's so creepy, isn't it?
And I'm kind of confused. I'm thinking, okay, how is jumping in the water with ACN going to keep me from drowning? Because, you know, when you jump in the water, it's either sink or swim. In ACN, there is no water. So how am I going to jump into the water and learn how to swim with the pyramid scheme?
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of already jumping in, aren't you, by paying the $500 to me. That's throwing you right in at the deep end.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Wow.
And so you had more of the speeches, more of the excitement, and then everybody's just killing it, because they're saying, okay, tomorrow is when we are going to have real estate magnate and reality TV star Donald Trump speak to us. Are you excited? Everybody's like, yeah. And then,
I wonder if they still use him now.
No, I don't think so.
No.
During his 2016 election campaign, I know that there were some people that were trying to say that him and the Trump kids, specifically Don Jr.,
mm-hmm.
was promoting illegal pyramid schemes like ACN.
Oh.
So that did kind of get him in hot water, and so the Trump family distanced themselves from ACN from that moment on.
Yeah, and then every pyramid scheme probably wanted to distance themselves from him once he became president.
Yeah, most likely. I mean, the only connection to a pyramid scheme at that point that Trump had was his Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, who was married to the son of Dick DeVos, who started Amway.
Wow. Okay. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
So he had her as his Secretary of Education, and when she was booed whenever she went to schools. She also had, schools and teachers, students and teachers turn their back on her the moment she tried walking in through the door, and they just kind of tried to create a barrier and make sure she couldn't get in.
Wow. What, due to her MLM affiliation?
She was also for, She was also for charter schools, homeschooling, private schools.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And when you're for things like that, you're basically giving the middle finger to teachers unions, and the teachers unions are very powerful and they've got a lot of money. Uh-huh. And they can bury you if they wanted to.
I mean, the teachers are really underpaid in America as well, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
For the job they do. Like they don't, and I'm not saying they earn a lot for what they put up with over here either, but I know that teachers are the kind of people who also get involved in MLMs, aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, we're at the convention, and you know, we're hearing excited. Everybody's getting excited about Donald Trump speaking the next day, and then there's some more speeches about how to grow our ACN business, and then they reintroduce the "Can you do me a huge favor?" pitch, and we all have to say that in unison.
What, can you do me a huge favor?
Yeah.
I'd love to say that in unison. Wow. You know, did you feel like you'd... go on.
We all say it like this. Can you do me a huge favor?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I was going to ask, did you feel like you, at this one, did you have a more positive experience? Though, like, did you like listening to them talk? Did you feel like, oh yeah, okay, that was beneficial? Yeah,
it actually did feel like a positive experience because I was so pumped. I met a lot of really cool people that were from different states, and so they were. It was like you knew these people all your life, even though you just barely met them. That was the environment that was created.
Yeah, the love bombing.
Yeah, there was a lot of love bombing, and. So you just felt like you were in heaven. It was like an eternal bliss where everybody was partying, everybody was knowing each other, everybody was so friendly, and it was like, wow, I love this. I don't want to go home. I want more of this. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the other ones should have done in Utah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, ACN is huge in Utah, by the way. It is huge.
Aren't they all big in Utah?
Yes, they are.
I don't know much about that, but that's something you hear very often. Like that's like MLM Central, where all the headquarters are, and big Mormon community. And
yeah, oh, the Mormon community is very big into MLM. I don't know why they shouldn't be, but they are. So we after the second day, we happened to meet a nice middle-aged couple from New York. This couple kind of looked, they looked like they were bikers, okay? Because like the man, he had this dark gray braided beard.
Brilliant.
Okay. And then like, you could tell this guy rides a chopper and he loves it, okay? Mm-hmm. But you know, they're very nice. And I asked them, I say, so have you been successful in this at all? Have you reached your executive team trainer rank? And that kind of made them uncomfortable. They said, no, we are having a hard time getting people to sign up. We don't know anyone that wants to do this. In fact, you know, everybody that we ask to sign up just tells us to fuck off. I'm sorry if I swore.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay. So they say everybody tells us to fuck off and doesn't want to have anything to do with this. And so we're really struggling, but we're still here because we believe in the opportunity. Well, when they said that, I felt a lot better about myself because I was struggling too.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, oh, people, everybody's portraying like they're something they're not, aren't they, at those events, walking around like they're all high up vice presidents, and they're not.
Because everybody you meet there, okay, you assume that they are successful, that you can learn from them, that 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 if you're struggling, you should talk to them because they are successful. They are more successful than you are. Mm-hmm. And you don't know that they're in the same boat because they give off the image of being successful. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, we didn't have Instagram back then.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook was still fairly new. We didn't even have TikTok.
No.
Okay. So everything I'm telling you, okay, is, you know, are there pictures? Sure. But you had to get them from digital cameras and upload them on your computer.
Yeah. And it's a whole different type of recruiting, isn't it, to what people who are joining MLMs now experience. You know, you recruit somebody in a different country and never meet them.
Oh, I guarantee you, if I'd have seen that McDonald's employee go on his rant, many of the people in that line would have pulled out our camera phones, videotaped this guy, posted on social media, and it would have gone viral.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But this is 2006 here. They didn't have mm-hmm. camera phones.
No.
Anyway, so it's like, I didn't realize that there were other people there that were struggling. I just assumed that they were more successful than I was. And I'm sure that there were people there that were in the same boat that thought I was more successful than they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the illusion.
Yeah. That's how you have to portray yourself to get anywhere, isn't it? But then I tried Nu Skin basically for like 4 months. But then when I tried recruiting people, I found that it was more like I was having to, not lie, kind of bend the truth / avoid answering the questions they asked because I was nowhere either.
Yeah, they call it fake it till you make it.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I was having to do to try and get anywhere.
Okay. And they even said fake it till you make it in ACM too. And at that point, you know, you're thinking, okay, wait a minute, you want me to lie to people? Mm-hmm. No. Okay. When you lie, you violate trust that people have in you, and it is very hard to earn that back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you want them to essentially work for you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that statement did kind of bother me a bit. Okay. Now, fast forward to the third day, the main event. Donald Trump is going to speak, and we are excited. The businessman, the business magnate of the Trump organization, the star of The Apprentice, is going to show up live in person on that stage.
Wow.
And everybody is cheering. They're so excited. The music continues to play. It's like, oh my gosh. And not only that, there's going to be a Q&A at the end. And I'm thinking, oh yay, I want to ask Donald Trump some questions. Now, okay, so Donald Trump, he goes up there, he gives like an hour-long speech, and he said, you know, he says things like, you know, you gotta love what you do. If you love what you do, you won't work a day in your life. You say the most thing about the thing about being successful is you first you have to love what you do. If you don't love what you do, then you shouldn't be doing it. Like, oh yeah. And we're all like, yeah, this is wisdom from the man. And then he says, you know, when I'm dealing with a potential client, I'm getting ready to make a deal. I make sure that I'm in control of the room and that no matter what happens in the negotiation, I win. He says, that's what you do to be successful in life is you command control of that room and you meet them. You sell them at a high point, knowing that they're not going to accept a lot of what you say. And then you meet them in the middle. Okay. And at that point, you make the deal, but make sure that you don't give away too much, but that you are the one on the winning side here. And that way, you do business with him, he does business with you, and you make the sale. That's what Trump was all about in that speech. Okay. Now, here comes the Q&A. Everybody's excited for the Q&A. At that moment, the rug got pulled out from underneath us.
Oh.
We, as low-level nobody representatives, we didn't get to ask him the questions. The high-level ranking regional vice presidents and senior vice presidents, they got to ask him the questions.
Of course.
We, as the peons, as the plebeians, we were to sit there and admire their brilliance.
Wow. What about the guy who was talking at the Utah conference? Did he get to ask questions?
Oh, he sure did.
Oh, God.
And you know what Trump said? Mm-hmm. I like this guy. He's got a bright future ahead of him.
Do you know where he is now, by the way?
Yeah, he's Spencer Hunt is, he's still, I believe, in Utah, but he is now a senior vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like he lost a lot of weight because he's a lot thinner now.
So now he's in Beachbody too.
He might as well be. Okay. But you know, he's still got that same charisma, that same funny attitude, and that same best friend, try to be your best friend. It's like he's still that same guy. Okay. But underneath, it's like, I know what kind of person he is based on the way he talked to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But here's the thing. It's like, I've said this before, but it's like the moment you go after somebody like that, the group of brainwashed people go after you and not only attack and pretty much attack your character. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, get really personal.
Oh, they attack, it's like you are attacking the structure of the business. They are attacking your character, and they are saying that you couldn't, you're just ticked off because you couldn't make it. You didn't have what it took to be successful, and now you're kicking the rocks. And it's like, we are being successful. We have what it takes. That's why we're doing this. We are becoming entrepreneurs. We are promoting the ACN opportunity, and we are changing lives. Okay. So yeah, all of these high-ranking people, including the power couples, they're the ones that got to ask him questions. We were to sit there and listen and admire and just be in total awe. It's like worshiping a celebrity that you will never get close to.
Mm-hmm.
And to make an analogy here, I have a friend of mine that went to go see Broadway singer Patti LuPone in, I believe it was Gypsy on Broadway. Okay. Now, according to his account, he said, because what he likes to do is he likes to wait after the show's over while everyone's filing out. He kind of likes to wait around for the actors to come out so he can meet them in person and then get photos with them. Okay. According to him, what he said was when Patti LuPone came out, you were to take your programs and hold them over your faces so that when she walks by, she doesn't see you looking at her.
Oh.
Okay.
What?
That's kind of how you were to treat the regional vice presidents and senior vice presidents in ACM, especially the high-level ranking ones. You were to admire them from a distance, but you were not to approach them unless you became a highly successful representative yourself. They wanted nothing to do with you if you were new. They wanted nothing to do with you if you were just so much as curious. You had to be the cream of the crop for them to even pay attention to you.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, after the Trump Q&A, Trump pretty much gets back and heads back to the airport, flies his private jet back to Trump Tower. Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to hang around with you minions.
No, of course not. So after that, there's this announcement that was a bit of a surprise. Because keep in mind, ACN is all about being cheaper than the big phone companies. So during all of these speeches, they rag on the big phone companies and how they are, they basically milk you out of money that you could use to pay for other things. And because of that, they monopolize and they hate that. So we're not going to be like part of the phone companies. Well, here's where the surprise kicks in. Okay. You have an announcement. I think it was by Greg Provenzano, the president and co-founder. He makes an announcement saying that in 2007, the cell phones were going to be released, and they have partnered with the big phone companies to help get you the perfect rate based on what plan you want to sign up for.
Wow.
And I'm looking at this and I'm scratching my head. Wait a minute. You just gave a speech on how you were ragging on the big phone companies and how you hate them, how they milk us out of our money and how they're too expensive, and now you're making deals with the devil?
Yeah, we've worked with them now. Oh, geez.
And I'm thinking, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? Well, they're just cashing in on the monopoly is what they're doing. Okay.
Yeah, obviously. Like that. Yeah, and what was everybody's reaction to that? Was everybody like, yeah, like, or,
yeah, of course,
or was
they
everybody
were
a bit like, oh, okay. Oh, they're on their side.
They wanted the cell phones too, because they believe that with the cell phone service, that they can be more successful because they too knew people that didn't have landlines.
Mm.
Now they can pitch the ACN opportunity to them. Okay. So everybody's excited. And the next speaker, Larry Raskin, goes up and he talks about how some of us will quit and some of us won't, but those of us that won't stick it to the very end, that we're going to be successful as long as we do what they tell us to do. Okay. Now here's the thing. He adds something to that speech that was a bit of a reality check. So he says, if you talk to 25 people and 25 people tell you no, are you gonna quit? No. If you talk to 250 people and 250 people tell you no, are you gonna quit? Everybody says no. If you talk to 500 people and 500 people tell you no, are you gonna quit? Everybody chants no.
Oh God, that's so weird.
And then he kicks us in the groin and punches us in the head. He says, okay, we'll see what happens when you get to 245. Well, at that moment, the room just goes dead quiet. So quiet, you can hear a pin drop on the ground.
Wow.
Okay. And at that moment, reality just sets in. I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to do this.
Oh, my God. Did you think at any point? Yeah, of course. Did you think At any point during that time you were there, like on day one, on day two, were you thinking that, oh yeah, I could give this a go? Like, I know you told your upline back at home that you were going to go there and then you were going to come back and quit, but had you started to change your mind? Or
you know, at first, yeah, I did. And that, it's funny that you mentioned that, because you know, the day comes and we're when we kind of part our ways and we head home, and my upline picks me up at the airport. He asked me if he asked me how it was, and I said, "Oh, it was great." I said, and then I talked about the jumping in the water with ACN and everything, and he too was excited. And then here's what he said. Then it. Now you hear it, you know, you hear it, and you just think, okay, Colt, he says, "We are going to spread the gospel of ACN to all who will listen." when did ACN become a religion?
Oh, no, the gospel. Oh, geez. Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. And so I kind of think, okay, that's a bit strange. But I switched gears and I said, okay, just did you stack me with reps and customers like you promised? Did you do that while I was gone? And then he just kind of scoffs and says, no. I'm not going to do your job for you. It's your responsibility to get reps and customers, not mine. And I said, well, you said you were going to do that while I was away. And he says, Rust, what did I just say? I'm not going to do your job for you. At that moment, I remembered the horrible car ride in the cult vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Being mistreated by Spencer Hum, the regional vice president, being mistreated by the low-level regional vice president that sounded like Texas Governor Ann Richards. And then I remembered the horrible treatment received from G.I. Jane, which, you know, was akin to verbal abuse.
Wow.
And I knew at that moment I was done. I wanted no more to do with ACN whatsoever. So I called ACN headquarters, which at that time was located in Detroit, Michigan. They have now since moved to Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, I thought you was going to say Utah.
Nope. So I remembered all of this. And at that point, I was done. So I called them and I said, I want out. And I told them why. I told them the horror stories and that I wanted no more to do with ACN. Well, here's what they told me to do. They wanted me to write an actual letter, put my name, my representative identification number,
mm-hmm.
and write a letter telling them that I intended to quit, why I wanted to quit, and then snail mail it to them. I said, well, I can do that in an email. Why can't I just email you? I said, nope, you gotta do it. You gotta write a letter to us and send it. Now they did that to disincentivize you from actually doing that, because most people, when they quit, they just stop doing it altogether and then let their time kind of expire, because like the longer you're not doing it, eventually you just kind of get phased out. Okay. I was so fed up. I wanted nothing more to do with it. So I said, all right, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. And then they said, keep in mind, if you choose to quit ACN, you cannot rejoin for another 365 days.
Like they'd stop you from joining again. Let's be serious.
I had no intention of joining again.
No, but I mean, if you wanted to, they're not going to not take $500 off you again, are they?
Well, no, because and they wouldn't be able to, because guess what? I had a payday loan. I had a payday loan to pay off.
Yeah. Oh man.
So, overall, I spent a total of $869, and that includes the trip, the $499 fee, the flight, my part of the hotel bill, the registration fee, and the food that I had to eat that, by the way, ACN didn't cover.
Wow. So you basically paid Trump's appearance fee.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
So I was flat broke. I was in debt. Mm-hmm. I now had to pay the $500 payday loan. But what was I doing most of the time? I was paying off the interest, not the principal. And as long as I paid off the interest, guess what? I still had to continue paying.
Wow.
So, but I got on the computer. I wrote out the letter, putting my name, rep ID number, writing why I wanted to quit. I printed it off, folded it up, put it in an envelope, and mailed it to ACN headquarters and said, "I am done."
And did you hear anything back from them?
No.
Wow.
In fact, get this. So my upline's ex, the moment she found out that I quit,
mm-hmm.
cut me off.
Of course. You've got no use to her.
Yep. She wanted nothing more to do with me. Now, my upline at that point, to my surprise, he did not cut me off. You know, he still wanted to be my friend. He knew I wasn't AC anymore. He was okay with that. And I was kind enough to invite him to my work Christmas party,
mm-hmm.
which it was kind of funny in itself because we work on a military base with, you know, a bunch of guys in a warehouse. Okay. And I bring my buddy to a work Christmas party. They think we're a gay couple. So it was so they're like, "Oh, how long you two been together?"
Yeah.
And of course I would say, well, technically, we've been standing together for like the next, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah. Out of curiosity though, how long did he last in ACN?
He was still in it when I left. We hung out until like maybe about the late summer 2007, I believe. I think he moved 3 hours away from me, and then I just kind of lost contact with him. But he knew at that point I was in the anger phase.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was in the anger phase. I was dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. And I, at that time when you leave an MLM like that, you know, there's anger, there's regret, there's heartache, and the need to attack the people in it is more tempting to do, and I did attack the people in it at that time. I don't now. Number one, I've been out for 15 years, and two, the people that are currently in it, they're victims just like I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
So, I have more compassion now than I did then. And in fact, I'm just going to say this. And so in case ACN tries to sue me, I will say I have nothing personal against Spencer Hun or Bobby Joe Jackson or G.I. Jane. I have nothing personal against them. I hope they're doing well. I'm sure they are.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm a lot happier now. But, you know, at the time, yeah, it was rough. Shortly after I left, I decided, because I was still in that business opportunity mindset, so I got drawn in this direct mail leads thing where I was supposed to, you know, stuff envelopes full of like sales flyers or something like that and mail them to a bunch of leads that were put on the envelopes. But here's the thing. I couldn't afford the stamps.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a colossal failure. Then a fellow coworker of mine heard my horror story. And what did he do? He invited me to a prepaid legal conference. That's what it was called then. It's now Legal Shield. But back then it was called Prepaid Legal. Now, this was before the death of Travis Alexander by Jody Arias, who were both involved in Prepaid Legal at that time. This was a year before that happened.
What is Prepaid Legal?
So Prepaid Legal, it's an MLM. Mm-hmm. It's basically what you're doing is you're selling legal services to people who can't afford it traditionally because lawyers are expensive, okay?
Yeah.
And so the MLM is basically you are giving people the opportunity to pay $25 a month for legal counsel in case, you know, they have... And let's say you get pulled over by a police officer and you get a ticket, okay? Mm-hmm. You get to talk with your lawyer. You don't even have to show up at traffic court. You know, the ticket's pretty much written off your record because the lawyer takes care of that for you. You know, the intent behind it is good,
uh-huh.
But I don't like the fact that it's turned into an MLM where you can make money.
Okay? Sure, yeah.
That's where I took issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they also say in case, it's like, if you were to ever get arrested, you know, call us. Well, you know, we also do legal counseling. If you ever get arrested and for a crime, you know, we'll represent you and we'll give you like 25% off your retainer fee, things like that. So, okay. You know, like I said, it seems like a good thing, but when you pitch it as an MLM where you have people representing that and you get them to sign up and underneath you in a downline and you make money and you get to, that's what I have a problem with.
Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Now, it's taking advantage of people, isn't it?
Yeah. So both Travis Alexander and Jody Arias were in Prepaid Legal and they met as representatives, worked their way up, and they eventually became a couple, and their relationship was very tense. It was doomed from the beginning because it's like, you know, they rush into it too fast, then they argue, then they kind of cheat with people, then they regret it, so they broke up, then they realized they can't be without each other, got back together, broke up, got back together.
But toxic.
And then finally, she murdered him in the shower and took pictures of him as she was murdering him.
Oh, that went somewhere I didn't expect it to.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she stabbed him to death multiple times in the shower.
Oh.
And because of that, not only did she go to jail for, you know, life in prison without the possibility of parole, but she tried to, she posed as a librarian in the courtroom so that way she realized, so she can say, I'm just, you know, like an average girl next door, I'm nobody special, you know. But because they were both involved in Prepaid Legal, and Prepaid Legal was said numerous times throughout the court proceedings, as well as multiple documentaries on the case, Prepaid Legal changed its name to Legal Shield.
Did they represent her in a murder trial?
No, of course not. They want nothing to do with her.
Wow.
Hey, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, exactly. And I bet she was like, oh, right.
So anyway, my coworker invites me to an MLM conference at an exclusive luxury hotel, And I go with him. I figure I got nothing better to do that night. Sure. So at this event, they have this what was called a $100,000 ring earner, which means you get a very nice looking ring, almost like a Super Bowl ring, and this says you made like $100,000 in a year. So he goes up and gives a speech, pitches the opportunity, and then he sees a face he's unfamiliar with. He asked me to stand up. He puts me in the hot seat and asks me to stand up and introduce myself.
Oh, no.
As a new person who's not even involved. And you know what I do?
Well,
I tell the horror story of my time at ECM. And everyone there is stunned.
I bet.
They are just gasping at my entire horror story, and they're even saying, "Oh my God, you poor thing!" And
wow,
the ringer says, "You know, I'm not gonna say anything bad about ACM or Spencer Hahn or anybody that mistreated you. I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm sorry that what happened. You know, you had every right to quit. I'm sorry that didn't work out for you, but I just want you to know that the option is available to you if you want to join. You will not be treated that way here."
I hope you enjoyed this part of Russ's story. I told you it gets even crazier. Thanks, Russ, for talking with me and letting me share your story. I really appreciate it. You know, as somebody who's never attended any MLM events in person, I think it's a massive, massive insight into how crazy they can get, and why people love attending them so much. If you're sucked into that world, it's very easy to thrive on all that craziness. So thanks for listening. Tune in next week. We're going to wrap things up with Russ. We talk about some slightly other topics as well, MLM related, of course. But thanks again, and see you next week.